This episode is brought to you by CLA.
Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, July 12th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. It's been a great time to be a seller in the housing market over the past year and a half, with home prices rising to record levels and buyers competing against one another amid limited supply. And now rising prices coupled with rising mortgage rates have pushed the market to a boiling point. May was the most expensive month to buy a house in 15 years. But are things about to change?
It is becoming less of a seller's market. There are more homes on the market. Homes are sitting longer because a lot of buyers have dropped out. They simply can't afford the current home prices at the current mortgage rates.
So does this shift mean better news on the horizon for potential buyers who've been priced out of the market? Our housing market reporter Nicole Friedman has been sizing up the climate for both buyers and sellers, and she'll be here with an update after the break.
When it comes to planning for the future, taxes and wealth advisory tend to be viewed as two separate conversations, but some things are just better together. That's why at Clifton Larson Allen, they call it TWELF. Here's Clayton Bland, Chief Wealth Advisory Officer at CLA.
More often than not, all of the decision-making around the tax relationship are predicated on things that have happened in the past. An investment advisory relationship would be something that's looking at, hey, what are your future goals? How can we allocate capital to help you achieve those goals? So when we talk about 12, tax and wealth together, that's really what we provide at CLA with that combination of both professionals. It provides for the necessary information to make the decision that will have the best impact on you, both from a goal standpoint of my portfolio and also from a tax consequence standpoint of when I file my tax return.
Visit CLAconnect.com for more insights from Clifton Larson Allen. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Investment advisory services are offered through Clifton Larson Allen Wealth Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
High prices and low inventory have made buying a home nearly impossible for many prospective buyers trying to stay within a budget. The National Association of Realtors Housing Affordability Index fell in May to its lowest level in more than 15 years. But with mortgage rates falling for the past several weeks, is there reason for home buyers to feel optimistic? Nicole Friedman covers the housing market for the WSJ, and she joins us with more. Hey, Nicole, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So, Nicole, how unaffordable has housing gotten?
So housing affordability has really worsened since the start of the year because mortgage interest rates have risen quite rapidly. And for home buyers, that has pushed up the amount that they can expect to spend every month by hundreds of dollars a month. So the way that the National Association of Realtors calculates this is for a typical family buying a home in May using a 20% down payment and a 30-year fixed rate mortgage, their expected monthly payment would be $1,842. And that's up from the same family in January would have expected to pay $1,297. And a year ago, it would have been even lower, $1,220. An increase of more than $600 a month in a year will just push a lot of prospective home buyers out of the market.
Yeah, and among those buyers that are being pushed out to the margins, who among them is being affected the most?
So as always, the people affected the most by declining housing affordability are those without a lot of cash to spend upfront on a home purchase. And that tends to be first-time home buyers because they can't benefit from selling their current home to generate the cash. They have to use savings or some or other source of funds for a down payment. And so as the cost of the home goes up, the expected down payment goes up, and with higher mortgage rates, their expected monthly payment is also going up. So for a lot of first-time home buyers, that might just be enough to make them decide to rent instead of buy.
And we've heard a lot about this being a seller's market and the competition among buyers, but how has this decline in affordability affected that relationship between buyers and sellers?
It is becoming less of a seller's market. There are more homes on the market. Homes are sitting longer because a lot of buyers have dropped out. They simply can't afford the current home prices at the current mortgage rates. Or they can afford it, but they're saying, maybe I'm just going to take a break for a couple of months, see how this evens out. Maybe it will be a little bit easier to buy a home if I wait. And so the balance between buyers and sellers, there are still more buyers than sellers. It is not a buyer's market, but sellers don't have as much power to set the terms as they did just 6 or 12 months ago. And now we are seeing some homes sitting on the market longer and sellers even cutting their list prices, coming down a bit on what they had initially expected. And so real estate agents say this is just kind of everybody feeling out the market. Sellers are trying to figure out what's the new normal, what's the right price in this market.
So where do economists see home prices going from here?
So home prices have been rising extremely quickly. They have been up more than 10% from a year ago. Every single month, we're seeing rapid home price appreciation. And the widespread expectation is that that home price growth is going to slow down, that as buyers drop out of the market, there's less demand, sellers are being forced to cut prices, that that is all going to slow down the pace of home price growth. But at the same time, economists are not largely seeing widespread home price declines. They don't see a situation like we saw during the last housing downturn, where home prices actually fell on a national basis quite dramatically. Instead, economists are saying maybe instead of 20% year-on-year price growth, it'll go down to 5%, 3%, something a little bit more back to historical levels. And the reason that they don't see prices falling on a national basis is because the supply of homes for sale is still really low. And that has been a long-standing issue in the housing market. There's a shortage of homes to accommodate all of the buyers who want to buy. And still in June, as you know, listings have been increasing, but they're still down from pre-pandemic levels. The June active listings were down 53% from June 2019, just 3 years ago. And that's according to Realtor.com, one of our sister companies.
Wow, that's a huge drop.
Yes, exactly. So listings are up from a few months ago, but they're still down a lot from just a few years ago.
Now, Nicole, we've seen mortgage rates edge lower in recent weeks. Could that make things more affordable?
So the mortgage rates have been volatile and bouncing around, and so they have come down somewhat from the high they hit the other week, but they're still quite high and they're still up significantly from a year ago. And so, yes, that might on the margin help a couple of buyers re-enter the market. But the big issue is that home prices are still growing rapidly and income growth is not keeping pace. And so as long as incomes don't keep up with home price growth, mortgage rates would have to come back down to the very low levels they were at in 2020 or in 2021 to restore some of that affordability that we have been seeing in recent years.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal housing market reporter Nicole Friedman. Nicole, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by CLA.